RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome aboard MP on the mic. It's a Monday morning. Appreciate you guys spending your Monday with us. We've got some stuff to catch you up on. We went dancing with the Dukes all last week. Dukes went dancing on Friday night, but then ran into the buzzsaw that is Duke. They were America's team Sunday afternoon, national time slot CBS game. Then Edwards picks up two fouls right out of the gate. Then Duke can't miss a shot. Then JMU misses some free throws. Well, it did not last long. We'll talk about women's basketball and the Hokies. We'll take a spin around the bracket after a thrilling first round of action on the men's side. 48 games packed into 4 days. Folks, it does not get better than that. And it did not get better than that. Plus, Alex Ovechkin scores 2 goals. Tony Bennett. We'll talk about Tony Bennett for a minute. NFL news as they get ready for rules changes today. And then at noon, we will ship you off to AWOD Radio, 3 hours live from Capitol Ale House. I think he might mention today's opening topic, folks. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, live worldwide on the Odyssey app, all three places. It's the home of the VCU Rams, and the Rams took care of business in the NIT second round last night.
Bairstow to make it a three-point game. It is good. Bairstow makes them both 68-65. Rams by three with 16 seconds left. Here we go. Reed into the front court. Reed top of the key. They're saving it right here. Reed to the left side. Bounce pass up to Youngblood. Turnaround three-pointer is off the back iron. No good. Rebound the wall. And the wall is fouled with 2.6 seconds left. He turned around and chucked it up from 25 feet away. If that ball goes, you probably have to scrape me off the floor.
Thankfully, we did not have to scrape Robbie off the floor. Robbie and Rodney with the call from down in Tampa at the Yuengling Center. Yes, folks, that is a real place, the Yuengling Center. It's where South Florida plays, and they gave VCU all they could handle. VCU headed to the quarterfinals of the NIT. They're one win away from going to the semis, which this year are in historic Hinkle Fieldhouse, the Hoosiers gym in Indiana. So I think that's a fun place for it, and we'll monitor the Rams as they go through. It's also one more opportunity to see these guys and weigh in on these guys. And I'll tell you what I loved most about last night's VCU win, and that is 4 points from Joe Bamisil. I don't love Joe Bamisil only scoring 4 points. He was 2 of 10 shooting, but all season long, they've ridden and died with Joe Bamisil's shot coming off the bench. It was great to see them pick up a win on a night where Bamisil was off his game. I think that was incredibly important for everybody involved to get a win like that where Bamisil wasn't on, but they found a way to get things done. I think they got things done from the inside out. Christian Furman, 10 points inside. That's the most aggressive I've seen him all year. He was making baskets happen in the paint. Zeb Jackson, 14 points. Sean Bairstow, 13. Max Shulga, 1 of 6 as well. Shulga and Bamisil, a combined 6 for 20, or I'm sorry, a combined 3 for 16 from the field. Those two guys did not carry the load. VCU, a full team effort to pick up that NIT win. 28 points in the paint. They held South Florida. Toby Lawal missed a 1-1 that set off a frantic final sequence, but then, as you heard, Bairstow calmly nails his free throws at the end of the game. South Florida Youngblood, who I must admit, I was not familiar with his game, 28 points for the South Florida Bulls, but it was not enough to carry them across the finish line. VCU gets the win in the Ryan Odom Bowl in a lot of ways. South Florida pitched Ryan Odom for its job down there in Tampa. He ends up, of course, at VCU, where he's rolling through the NIT. And I do think an NIT semifinal appearance would be something that a lot of fans would appreciate and would enjoy. Coming off of this year where it was a rocky year at times. There were some ups, there were some downs, and it was the same last night. These guys struggle to finish games, right? Same thing we've been saying all season. These guys are still struggling to finish games, but they took care of business last night, and that is an awesome way to close the season out with a couple NIT wins, a little momentum, especially for some of the guys on the roster we don't see as much, getting the chance to play a little bit more. Obviously talking about Fats Billups partially there, 11 minutes for Fats Billups, acquitted himself nicely while he's out on the floor. Michael Bell, 17 minutes. Toby Lawal, just more chances to develop for him, right? Story all through the year that we kept telling you, Toby Lawal has to keep developing, and he got opportunities to do that in game action today. But the big guy's the story for VCU. Marquez Valdez-Scantling at the game in South Florida there. I believe they call that a star-studded crowd. So congrats to VCU. They move on to the semifinals. They will face Utah Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Folks, these 9 p.m. tip-offs, it's targeted at me at this point. Every game I ever want to watch is now a 9 p.m. tip-off. Started with UVA last week. Started at the ACC tournament. We were there late nights back at the ACC tournament presented by Cowan Gates. Continued into the NCAA tournament. They apparently are never going to play good basketball at 7 o'clock ever again. We got VCU Utah, trip to the NIT semis on the line. Of course, you'll hear it right here. 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. We're going to need to learn some things about Utah. We'll do that in the next couple days. Keith Van Horn, Andrew Bogut. That's all I got. That's the file. Rick Majerus. That's our Utah file. Kyle Kuzma, I think. Oh, we'll get the fact-checking team on that. That's the Utah file. We'll expand the Utah file in the coming days. Get you ready. VCU at Utah, trip to the NIT semis on the line Wednesday night, 9 o'clock. Pregame starts 8:15. On the Fan, we'll be talking about that a lot more in the coming days. Other tourney action was down the road in Blacksburg, Virginia Tech hosting. They clung to that four seed for as long as they could. The injury to Liz Kitley, obviously, you knew it would be a tough road, but they got the home games, so there was hope. Last night, they took on Baylor. ESPN declared that the one to watch, made it their national primetime game, and it certainly delivered. It was a Virginian who came through, just not a Virginia Tech Hokie.
They've got this because they want to get the ball to Walker right here.
Andrews looking to get it, bounces it into Walker. She cuts in, layup, yes, and a foul on Kayla King.
Yeah, could have certainly been an intentional foul, and Coach Collin is screaming for that, but she has screamed pretty much all night.
Jada Walker played high school ball at Henrico. 28 points for Baylor, none bigger than those. And then, I mean, just incredibly smart play down the stretch. She was able to run off 7 seconds off the clock before she was fouled. Tech did not go down without a fight, though.
Looking, lobs it into Strack, top of the arc, hands off Amor, open left wing three, hits it! One of the shots of her career! Amor says, we're not done yet!
How good is Georgia Amor?
Georgia Amor hitting three to keep the finish thrilling. That on the Virginia Tech Learfield radio network. It ultimately was not enough. Baylor was able to run out the clock. And look, credit to Baylor. Not only did they make the plays, they made the smart plays too. Virginia Tech was down three, had the ball with a few seconds left. Baylor fouled. They had a foul to give. Gave the foul, made Virginia Tech reset. They were unable to get a look on the way back to get their final shot in. Just good, smart play. Don't always see that. You don't always see that everywhere, but a thrilling game. Georgia Amor hitting the three to keep things fun. Raucous crowd at the castle, capping what was an incredible run for Liz Kitley. Obviously, if Liz Kitley had played, that's a totally different game. Virginia Tech's headed to the Sweet 16. A lot of what ifs. Once Liz Kitley went down, the Hokies women's season was not the same. But it ends an era that ended at the Final Four last year, shining a spotlight on the program, on Kenny Brooks, on all he's accomplished, and raising the profile of women's basketball, both in Blacksburg and across Virginia. Made a lot of new fans along the way, and now it's on Virginia Tech to sustain that momentum. It's on them to keep the program rolling, which will not be easy, right? There's the rumors that Kenny Brooks is interviewing for the Kentucky job. There's the challenge of recruiting and finding a new group that'll be as good and as cohesive as this one was with Liz Kitley and Georgia Amor. A lot of question marks going into the future for this Virginia Tech women's basketball team. What a game to end on, though, as it was last year in their Final Four run. A lot of thrilling basketball being played, and you love it when it comes down to made shots in the end. Georgia Amor with the big three, but they had no answer for Jada Walker. Baylor star for the night, rather, was a Virginian. Played her high school ball at Henrico, scored 28 points for Baylor to take care of business in the women's bracket. The Spiders got knocked out at the start of the weekend in the first round against Duke as well. So we are out of local participants in the big women's bracket. We still got VCU hanging out in the NIT bracket, and JMU falls in the other local action here. Thrilling weekend of tourney action. I think Oakland's probably your stars of the weekend, the way they played. But a lot of local heroics as well. JMU beating Wisconsin in primetime on national TV. That's not going to be forgotten anytime soon. And for the Virginia Tech women, walking it off with their heads held high. Lots of fun basketball over the weekend. We're going to break it all down for you today. Also, some thoughts on Kim Mulkey. Speaking of women's basketball, speaking of things that are controversial, we'll take a trip around the bracket as well. Lots going on, lots to celebrate. It's a college basketball Monday. We're dribbling around the brackets, around the ACC, around the country. ACC gets four teams in the Sweet 16. You can take those ACC critiques, put them in your pipe, and smoke them. And by the way, three of them are within a few miles of each other in the triangle. Going to be a fun week down there. Kind of reminiscent of 2011 when we were the center of the world. Richmond and VCU both in the Sweet 16. They get it a little more often down there. Duke, UNC, NC State, though. The stars have aligned. All three headed to the Sweet 16. We'll break it all down for you and plenty more. It's a Monday edition of MP on the Mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan. Now 105.1. Keeping things rolling on a Monday morning. This is MP on the Mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan now at 105.1 FM live worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Glad to have you along for the ride. If I'm talking quickly, it's because we got a lot of ground to cover. But we start in the bracket with last night's marquee game, CBS, 5 o'clock, whole world watching. Unfortunately, it was not meant to be for the JMU Dukes, who, by the way, acquitted themselves very nicely on national television Friday night with the win over Wisconsin. Everything going for them in that game. And then it seemed like, all of a sudden, nothing going for them last night. Tough start, obviously. Edwards gets his second foul early. Duke can't miss. Then the Dukes, when they start missing free throws, that's the warning sign. That's when you know things aren't quite right. It was the opposite of all those wins. Winning streak comes to an end. JMU will not be in the Sweet 16, but certainly leaves the season with its head held high. Great year out there. Now, I'm not a believer in the platitude, all right? Hey, you know, get back here next year. It'll be like that. Life is hard for a mid-major because you got people pulling at your players. You got players who are graduating. Generally, teams that make runs like this are senior-laden, as this one was. You're going to have teams throwing NIL money at your guys, which is a reality of life these days. You're going to have teams throwing money at your coach, Mark Byington, who assembled this team, and I think did so quite masterfully. It's going to be a test for JMU to get back here. These things are not givens. Nobody knows that better than JMU fans, of course. So long between tourney appearances, waited 11 years for this. And I think ultimately we'll see the season and the appearance as a success. They were America's team for a minute. Obviously, everybody wanted them to knock off Duke, but it was not in the cards. Duke gets the win. JMU gets sent home after a phenomenal tournament run. You know, you never know. You never know when you'll be back or if you'll be back at Florida Atlantic, right? Florida Atlantic makes the Final Four last year. This year, out in the first round, both times by razor thin margins. You just... It's that kind of tournament. NC State is in the Sweet 16. And yet, if UVA had made one single free throw at the end of that ACC tournament game, they wouldn't be dancing. This wouldn't be a story. They might even be firing the coach right now. Who's to say? Some of those guys, some of those guys are already in the transfer portal. That was the story, right? Because the transfer portal opens a day early. LJ Thomas, sophomore guard, he's a backup. Put his name in, and now he's rolling through the NCAA tournament. He's both in the transfer portal and part of a team that's rolling through the NCAA tournament. Obviously, the story of the weekend, regionally, and I would say nationally as well. Folks, the ACC is back. Reports of the ACC's demise are once again far too premature. Four teams in the Sweet 16. Clemson making its way in with an upset win over Baylor, one of the few non-chalk outcomes of the weekend. Shout out to Clemson, who's had that potential all year, realizing it at the right time now. And then Duke, NC State, and UNC, the three triangle teams from down in Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill. That area is going to be a basketball hotbed this week. Last time all three of them made it to the Sweet 16 was 2015. That was the year Duke won it all. 2005 it happened, UNC won it all. So certainly if you're looking for a team that might win, look to those triangle teams. Man, NC State, I don't care what anybody says. They're fun to watch. The big guy's fun to watch because Purdue is unwatchable. I don't know if Purdue's been like this all season. I don't have Purdue League Pass. I don't watch a lot of Purdue basketball. I don't watch a lot of Big Ten basketball. That style is brutal, though, running through Zach Edey. It's tough basketball to watch. Meanwhile, NC State, on the other hand, they've played thrilling games. They've had fun games. DJ Burns and that crew has played fantastic basketball for NC State. DJ Burns, by the way, listed at 275 pounds. I'm going to take the over on that one. Three teams from North Carolina, from the Triangle, though. Here's what I love. I love the rivalries. I love all that. There were people posting that North Carolina fans, UNC fans, apparently some of them were rooting for NC State to win, and they're being told, knock it off. You know, NC State people have never rooted for you. I disagree. That's the perfect sign. That's a perfect little brother, big brother move in a rivalry, right? If you're UNC, the way you acknowledge NC State is not by, oh, I hope they lose. They're our rival. They're not your rival. Duke's your rival. NC State thinks it's a rivalry. The very best thing you can do is kill them with that kindness, right? We hope NC State does really well. We're pulling for them because we've got triangle pride. Oh, that burns them up far more than the hatred. That's the last thing they want to hear. If you're a UNC fan, I say applaud NC State every chance you get this week because it will make them even angrier. And that's the stuff good rivalries are made of. Of course, all of America continues to root against Duke, as is national tradition. And last night, they were rolling. They were dominant. We've seen some dominant teams this weekend. Purdue looked like a dominant team this weekend. UConn, of course, looked like a dominant team this weekend. Duke had to fight its way into the game, but then once they got rolling against JMU, they looked really good. There's a few teams that we can see that I think you can see as being really capable of maybe making a run here as we get to the second weekend, as we get to the Final Four weekend. And I mean, it starts with UConn. Repeating is hard, but they came out with something to prove and really got to take their foot off the gas for the entire second half last night, which is absolutely incredible. You don't see a lot of that come tourney time, but they pulled it off. UConn looking really good. I thought Purdue looked really good. Hey, North Carolina survived and advanced against Michigan State in what was a game that was obviously highly anticipated. Michigan State gave them all they could handle. But then in the end, UNC's still dancing. Four from the ACC. You can take your nets, you can take your quadrants, and you can shove it, because the ACC and the A-10 have been dominant this year. And I've always said, right, part of the problem with the ACC is it's not a conference that, you know, has a lot of unity the way the SEC does. SEC loves to be great. Like SEC teams, you know, Vandy fans and Kentucky fans, they all unite over other SEC teams doing well because, yeah, it just means more. ACC doesn't do that, but certainly an opportunity to toot their horn here. Great weekend for the ACC, fully validating the teams they got in. We'll leave UVA aside for now, but Clemson gets in, NC State gets in, both absolutely validated in that. So kudos to the ACC for rolling in the NCAA tournament, and shout out to the A-10 as well. Great showings from Duquesne and Dayton as well to pick up wins. That's a two-bid league, making an argument to be a more-bid league down the line. Success is not everything. That, you know, success in the tournament, it's not everything, but it goes a long, long ways towards shaping that perception and shaping how people see your team and your school in the future, right? If the A-10 has success in the tourney, that opens up future doors, not to mention the money that comes in that everybody's going to need in this NIL world. Unfortunately, I don't think NIT shares are worth what they used to be, but the NIT rolls on, and you can catch it right here, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Don't miss a minute of VCU in the NIT. I said I wanted to get to Tony Bennett. I do want to get to Tony Bennett. I was kind of dismissive last week of the thought, like, will Tony Bennett leave? Is he over all of this? And we played the clip and Jim Boeheim talking about how, look, Tony Bennett's not built for the NIL world, for the transfer portal world, which I think is 100% true, by the way. I don't think Tony Bennett likes any of this that's going on at all. My counter argument is just, where's he going to go? I don't think he's an NBA guy. And I think it's far too early for him to pull the escape hatch here, right? He's 54 years old. That's not retirement age, and guys like that aren't wired to retire. I'm prepared to revise on that and say I'm not going to 50%. There's not a 50% chance Tony Bennett leaves. And obviously, Tony Bennett's not going to be fired. So if you're thinking about that, push that out of your head right now. Tony Bennett's not going to be fired. There's a chance, though. I'm reevaluating my stance on this. There's a chance that Tony Bennett finds something new to do and potentially walks away. It'd be kind of a Bronco Mendenhall-style situation, right? Guy who just kind of out of nowhere all of a sudden says, hey, I'm done here. This is for the next guy. I need to recharge. I need to figure out what my next challenge is. And for Tony Bennett, the opportunity to step away for a few years and let the game sort itself out in a lot of ways too, which I do think will happen, if not fully, at least partially. I think the game will sort itself out in the next few years. I continue to think the solution is in the problem, that there's going to be a lot of NIL contracts that are 3-year and 4-year contracts. You know, maybe a little bit of British soccer mixed in, right? That you can mutually agree to sell a player's contract to another school, but the initial school gets a cut of the profit, something like that. I think the answers are coming. They're just not coming quickly, and I get why coaches like Tony Bennett are not thrilled about that. But we'll explain more about the state of college sports as the week goes on. I want to talk about Kim Mulkey before our show ends today as well. Also want to shout out Alex Ovechkin. 2 goals yesterday. 26 goals total now for Alex Ovechkin. He's back on pace, folks. The chase is back as he chases Wayne Gretzky, and the Caps chase a playoff spot. All right, we're rolling now. We're about halfway through the hour here. We're a step aside. We'll be back with more tourney talk. Shaka Smart, and this stat made the round. First appearance in the Sweet 16 since VCU in 2011. That really caught me off guard. I knew it in the back of my head, but it caught me off guard as well. We'll dive into that and plenty more. It's a Monday edition of MP on the Mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Monday morning, a Capitals victory Monday. We'll talk a lot of basketball in this segment, of course. I mentioned, though, Alex Ovechkin, 2 goals. I feel like I need to say that again. We'll say that one more time before the show's over, too. Alex Ovechkin, 2 goals yesterday, back on track. That's one you want to put a bookmark in, right? Don't need to fall on that every night right now. You can if you want to. If you're a puckhead, go for it. Alex Ovechkin, though, getting back on track as he chases Wayne Gretzky. We'll keep our eye on that, of course, right here on The Fan. Keep our eye on the burger bracket, too. AWOD's burger bracket, final day to vote in the round of eight. Do that at thefanrichmond.com. Wild night in college basketball. And to me, this is the perfect tournament. Thursday was great. Tons of upsets, tons of great basketball. I loved Thursday. Friday was just as good as Thursday. A lot of great basketball. I wouldn't say a lot of upsets on Friday with teams like JMU winning. Yale, certainly a Friday upset. Colorado, not an upset. There were a lot of teams that were seeded lower that won, though. And then Saturday and Sunday come, and what you want, you want to restore the chalk on Saturday and Sunday. You want to give us a great Sweet 16. You want the upsets early. You want the blue bloods and the great games late. I feel like we got that. One of the nice things about this year's tournament, right? We had more than 16 teams that were capable of contending on any given night. So we were able to knock off some of them and then able to move some good ones around. Everybody's bracket shredded. That's all right. But I feel like it's also a scenario where we've got a chance for some ones and some twos in the Sweet 16 here. And that's going to make for some good basketball coming down the stretch, right? Who's the team I told you to watch out for? Auburn? Don't watch out for Auburn anymore. They're not in the tournament anymore. They got jobbed. Player got tossed there in the first few minutes. Really struggled with fouls and contending with the physicality of the game. A lot of this is ref assignment. A lot of this is who you get. You certainly look at the different styles. I think Purdue could be undone on any given night. If Zach Edey fouls out, of course, he makes the game different for them. Exciting weekend, though, across the world of hoops, and loved every second, all the way until Houston hanging on against Texas A&M in overtime, right? That's survive and advance at its finest right there. Get to overtime, get a way to win. I was surprised. I knew this. I'm not... It didn't like, oh, but the light bulb clicked for me. Shaka Smart celebrating going to the Sweet 16. And it posted, first time he's been in the Sweet 16 since he took VCU in 2011. And I knew that. I knew he didn't make it at Texas and hasn't at Marquette and had the early loss last year. But it's a reminder, right, that even if he had stayed, and I think if he had stayed, he would have had some exceptional basketball teams over the past decade. Just a reminder. That doesn't mean anything necessarily. You can argue talent-wise, every team he had at Texas was better than every team he had at VCU, top to bottom, one through five on the roster. I'm not suggesting that means they were better teams or more cohesive teams, just saying he had better talent. I think every year at Marquette, he's brought in better talent than he brought in at VCU. All that, and he hasn't had a Sweet 16 to show for it since VCU. It goes to show you, he could have stayed at VCU. Could have made an impact, could have been a legend here, had a statue on Monument Avenue, the works. But he also could have missed out on the Sweet 16 every year. And I can tell you, 13 years down the line, if he hadn't made a Sweet 16 in 13 years, y'all would have been a little grumbly. Just saying, right? The Tony Bennett crew's a little grumbly, and he cut down the nets a few years ago. Yeah, that's the nature of college fandom, and that's the nature of college sports. It's what have you done for me lately, particularly in this new era. But Shaka Smart back in the Sweet 16 with Marquette. I think he's a phenomenal recruiter. I'm not saying I wouldn't have wanted him here for the last 13 years. I think it would have been a good time for all of us. Good for business, as we say. But right now we got Ryan Odom. Utah State finally bowed out of the tournament. They were feisty, took care of TCU in the opener, went down to Purdue, as I think a lot of teams are going down to Purdue right now. So you look at that next round, man, I am fired up for Purdue-Gonzaga. Gonzaga playing some great basketball. They got my Jayhawks. I told you last week this wasn't the year for Kansas. The injuries caught up to them, and certainly running full speed with Gonzaga for 20 minutes caught up with them. The wheels came off in the second half. But credit to Gonzaga, the opposite of the Shaka Street, 9 consecutive Sweet 16s. That's incredible. I'd put that up against pretty much any streak in college basketball. You got UCLA's titles. That's always going to be number one. You've got Kansas winning Big 12 titles in a time of immense, competition and talent in the Big 12. That's up there. The Sweet 16, though, It's so random. You play so many good games. One night can foil you. I'm putting that right up there with any of them, really. I think that's as good a streak as you're going to find in college basketball. And kudos to Gonzaga for finding a way to extend it. It gets a great game against Purdue this week. And once you're in, anything can happen. Unless you're playing Gonzaga in the first two rounds. And then what's going to happen is you're going to lose to Gonzaga. So hat tip to the Zags. UVA. All right, UVA lost. They scored 14 points in the first half. Lost to Colorado State. Colorado State then lost to Texas, only scored 11 points in the first half. Texas played Tennessee. Texas only scored 19 points in the first half. Folks, I'm putting Tennessee on first half underwatch against Creighton. I fear whatever's in the water in Charlottesville may be contagious. We need to keep an eye on this. This may be contagious. If Tennessee lays an egg in the first half against Creighton, we're going to keep an eye on this situation. I would hate to think that, UVA's first half woes have spread, but it does appear that's the case. The teams they've beaten now two games in a row haven't cracked 20 in the first half of their game. We need to keep an eye on that. May need to put Charlottesville in a giant bubble before this tournament is over. In the South region, Houston and Duke, NC State and Marquette. Can't do much better than that. I think everybody's excited to see NC State, DJ Burns. You've got three ACC and Big East teams in one region, along with Houston, the Big 12 team. I mean, great week for the ACC, obviously. Great weekend for the Big East, obviously. Bad weekend for people who cite the net, cite the quad wins, as though that's the be-all and end-all way of judging college basketball teams. You may need some restructuring here. Now, I am hugely against guaranteed bids for conferences. That is not the road I want to go down. I hate that the NIT is doing it. I hate that college football is doing it. It's a bad idea. Aside from one guaranteed bid per conference, which obviously shouldn't and I hope will stay forever. The Tom Izzos, the Greg Sankeys of the world can keep quiet about that. They don't understand that we prefer the drama of the tournament to the money they make from the tournament. So they need to just shut up, cash their checks, enjoy one of the greatest sporting products in the world. But it shows you, maybe this net isn't all it's cracked up to be. And it's very clear you can game it. I think they need to set to work immediately, recraft the net, reward playing good non-conference games, win or lose, reward playing mid-major basketball teams, home and home, win or lose, really get to work figuring out how you're going to adjust and recraft that so that it's less susceptible to manipulation, because you've got a talented ACC and a talented Big East, and the tournament's not the be-all end-all, it's a few days, but it's very clear some of these teams are quite talented relative to their Big 12 and Mountain West co-parts. Out west, North Carolina, Alabama. North Carolina got a tough one in the Michigan State draw. That was the made-for-TV draw right there. I think they'll have an easier time with Alabama. Clemson, Arizona. Arizona's a good team as well. We're flying towards that Caleb Love against UNC matchup right there, right? That's going to be a fun one. I think we've got some good matchups brewing as we get down. Out east, UConn against San Diego State. Doesn't look like UConn's touchable right now. It's fun of the tourney, though. Everybody gets to relax, go cool off for a few days. And Illinois against Iowa State. Another fun one out east. The madness continues. NIT madness continues. VCU takes on Utah. 9 o'clock Wednesday night. You'll hear it right here on The Fan for a trip to the NIT semis, Hinkle Fieldhouse in Indiana. Pretty cool stuff. Our show rolls on. I've got thoughts about Kim Mulkey and threatening a Washington Post reporter over the weekend over a story that is allegedly coming out soon. Also, a couple of quick thoughts on NFL rule changes, but then lots more basketball. AWOD Radio takes over at noon. This is MP on the mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Headed towards the top of the hour, MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. At noon, we hand this over to AWOD for AWOD Radio, live from Capitol Ale House, noon to 3. Richmond's OG Burger Night is back at Capitol Ale House. Grant and Danny drive you home from 3 to 6 p.m. They might have a thing or two to say about Alex Ovechkin scoring two goals yesterday in a big win for the Washington Capitals. Ovi's got 26 this season against all odds, folks. He is back on the Gretzky pace. Just incredible to see. Two goals in a winning effort. Caps currently occupy that last playoff spot. Big game against Detroit coming up this week. Ovechkin, 8 goals in his last 5 games. You know I've been taking the victory lap on this. Was ice cold all season long. I said, I don't know. I don't think he's going to do it. I don't think he's going to catch Gretzky. And then he caught fire. Grant and Danny, of course, will take the story from there. 3-6 tonight. Right here on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Wrap things up today with a couple loose ends. First off, Shohei Ohtani will speak to reporters today. I don't know who his translator will be. I think that's the first matter to take care of. We'll see what he has to say after Friday night's, we call that the news dump announcement, right? Friday night, sneak in a little bad news on attorney weekend. Hope everybody forgets about it by Monday. And sure enough, here we are. Gone a full hour here. Barely mentioned it at all. But Shohei Ohtani will speak to reporters today now that MLB is officially looking into him wiring a reported $4.5 million to a reported bookie. We'll see where that story goes. I'm intrigued about that as well. Friday night news dump. That's a classic of the genre, folks. But I don't think this story's going anywhere anytime soon. Shohei Ohtani, big name in baseball. Of course, you know the Japanese love their baseball. I think that's going to be a major headline worldwide. Also, last night, the official start of the NFL League meetings. NFL League meetings taking place in Orlando this year. That's an event that occupied a ridiculous amount of our brain space as Commanders fans for a while there, because every league meeting seemed to bring new news, new rumors about Dan Snyder, new ownership. Nice to finally have all quiet on the home front this time of year. Biggest Commanders headline coming out of the NFL League meetings yesterday was Dan Quinn giving an interview to NFL Network. He said, and I quote, "I would say it would be fair to envision we'd be taking a quarterback with the number 2 draft pick." Stop the presses, folks. Dan Quinn says it would be fair. He would say it would be fair to envision that they'll be taking a quarterback. Yeah, I'd say it'd be fair to say that I'm envisioning that pick at number 2 being a quarterback as well. Jeremy Fowler reported over the weekend that the Commanders have received a lot of calls, a lot of trade interest, and he said they have not made their decision on what they are going to do, including who they would pick with the number 2 selection. I got a feeling they got at least a strong lean at this point, and I'm not sure there's going to be an offer strong enough to budge him off of number 2, right? Because any offer that budges you off of number 2, you got to figure out what to do about quarterback down the line. And I don't think any team can guarantee you they're going to give you a draft pick down the line that will be good enough to do something with quarterback as good as you can do this year at number 2. I'm assuming Caleb Williams is off the board, but you've got your choice of some pretty good quarterbacks there at number 2. I can't imagine a team offering you a package tempting enough that you would say, we can handle that in future years. Speaking of AWOT, speaking of burgers, speaking of things of that nature, today's your final day to vote in the quarterfinal round of AWOT's Burger Bracket. Visit thefanrichmond.com to take that one on. He'll be pumping that up during his show, I know, weighing in on his favorites. We had a big upset in the opening round. Number 1 seed Bovine went down. I don't think they were misseeded either. I was surprised to see that, but the people have spoken, and the people will speak again today in the Burger Bracket at thefanrichmond.com. All right, women's basketball tournament. We talked about Tech earlier. We talked about Baylor. Baylor's former coach, Kim Mulkey, who's currently being crazy over at LSU. The story came out over the weekend that the Washington Post is preparing a large story about Kim Mulkey, the LSU coach, who's gotten into her fair share of controversy over the years. Very outspoken about a number of things. And of course, she is not taking the news that the Washington Post is writing about her lying down. Here she is after her first win of the NCAA tournament, talking about the Washington Post preparing an article about her reportedly for this week.
"This reporter has been working on a story about me for 2 years. After 2 years of trying to get me to sit with him for an interview, he contacts LSU on Tuesday as we were getting ready for the first round game of this tournament with more than a dozen questions, demanding a response by Thursday, right before we're scheduled to tip off. Are you kidding me? This was a ridiculous deadline that LSU and I could not possibly meet, and the reporter knew it. It was just an attempt to prevent me from commenting and an attempt to distract us from this tournament. It ain't gonna work, buddy.
He's been trying to talk to me for 2 years, a deadline that he knew would be outrageous and that LSU and I could not wait. No, that's not it at all. He's been trying to talk to me for 2 years, and he emailed me this week and said we're going to run the article, and that's ridiculous because it's designed to not have my comment in this. There's some circular logic there that I do not follow. He's been trying for 2 years, but he emailed me this week and said the article's going to run, and that's ridiculous because I won't have enough time to put together a comment. Well, it sounds to me like you had 2 years to comment. I'll be curious. I do wonder, though, if this is a page out of the Dan Snyder playbook, which is never the playbook you want to be playing out of. That's never a good sign, of course, if you're playing out of the Dan Snyder playbook. I do wonder, though, because you remember when the Washington Post was getting ready for the big expose on Dan Snyder, all the allegations of sexual harassment within the organization. There were rumors going around in the lead up to that that got pretty salacious. Dan Snyder, Washington Post is going to report that he's got refs in the tank for him, that he's friends with Epstein, Jeffrey Epstein, all these things, right? And then it turns out it's sexual harassment alleged by more than 40 women, and people are like, oh, okay, that's it? Well, that wasn't just it, that was a lot. But I wonder if Kim Mulkey's playing that playbook, right? Get everybody to think this is going to be the worst article in the history of the world, and everybody's going to turn on me after this. And then, you know, when it's whatever it is, people say, oh, it's just that? Okay, well, I guess we can move on with our lives now. I don't think it's generally productive for news of a report, a story to come out before the story. But I think a lot of people, obviously, it also builds interest, though. A lot of people are going to read that when it comes out. A lot of people are going to see what's up. It's the Streisand effect in that way, right? The Streisand effect, named after. So Barbara Streisand, she had a big mansion right on the coast of California when Google Maps unveiled satellite image. And you could see satellite image of people. She sued it was a violation of her privacy and she wanted it blurred out, which in turn caused everybody to go look at Barbara Streisand's house. Became like the most viewed satellite image for a period of time. And so that's the other way this could swing, right? Kim Mulkey, who, I mean, she's not a household name, but I feel like pretty much everybody knows who Kim Mulkey is at this point. Everybody knows there's an article now about her that they're going to want to read this week. We'll see which way that ends up going. I think we have not said our last about this story. We have said our last for today's show, though. That means that we'll be handing things over to AWOD Radio, all things burgers. He's at Capitol Ale House. He's talking hoops. He's talking NIT. He's talking NCAA. Thrilling game last night. Thrilling games last night. Virginia Tech women, VCU men, the tourney games themselves after a great weekend of basketball. So plenty for him to say. We'll hand it over to Grant and Danny 3-6 today. But first, AWOD Radio up live from Capitol Ale House, home of Richmond's OG Burger Night. If you missed anything from today's show, dial up the Odyssey app. It's free. It's got the rewind button. It's got the show archives going on. We'll be back tomorrow with more MP on the mic. As always, thank you for joining us as we get this week started off right. Back tomorrow with more AWOD Radio up next. He'll take you to 3 o'clock. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.